Several years ago, my friend and colleague, the Reverend Jess Cook, told me that they try to remember their baptism every time they encounter water. At the ocean, or by a gently flowing creek, when a thunderstorm rolls in, even when they boil water for pasta or take a shower, Jess tries to take a moment to remember their baptism, to be reminded of that first affirmation in the Christian life of who we are and of whose we are. I can't say that I have the same kind of mindful intentionality that Jess has in that regard. Most days, water is just water for me. It's something I rush past on my way to the next thing. And yet, this Sunday baptism of Christ Sunday asks us to slow down long enough to remember the waters of our baptism, and with them, the waters of creation, the waters of the flood and of the Exodus, the waters of the mighty stream of God's justice and righteousness, and the river of the waters of life flowing from God's throne. Presbyterian polity requires that when a person is to be baptized, they first renounce evil and profess their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that they declare their intent to participate actively and responsibly in the church's worship and mission. The Book of Order doesn't specify what form this renunciation, profession, and declaration should take. We have freedom in that. But in my experience, the practically universal practice is to ask three simple questions of the person being baptized, or if it's a young child, of their parents. And then to those three simple questions are given three simple answers. The Book of Common Worship provides a few different options for the wording of these questions, but they all run along the same lines. Do you renounce evil and all the forces that defy God, the powers of this world that rebel against God, and the ways of sin that draw you from God? To which the given response is, I renounce them, or simply, I do. And then the next question is, who is your Lord and Savior? To which the response, of course, is, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And finally, we ask, will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? To which the response is, I will, with God's help. Gordon Lathrop, a Lutheran pastor and perhaps one of the most influential liturgical theologians in recent decades, wrote in his book, Central Things, isn't baptism simply the way we start someone out on the Christian life? Well, yes, but it is far more than that. Or rather, in our beginning, when that beginning is made by God, is already hidden all the realities of our middle and end, of our full life, of our death and our life in God. In our beginning is not just ourselves, but ourselves held in Christ's hands together with all those who belong in Christ. He went on to write, each member of the church comes again and again to this beginning as a way to get through every day with faith. We begin our lives as Christians and disciples of Christ by making bold statements about who we are and whose we are, and how we intend to live in the world. We renounce the powers of sin and death and evil. We confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we promise to obey Christ's word and show Christ's love in the world, relying in all of this, always, on God's help. It's easy to think of these as empty ritualistic words, as just the formality that the Book of Order insists we get through before the sweet moment when the pastor splashes water on a baby who might be giggling or sleeping or crying. I was baptized when I was only 4 or 5 years old, and I don't really remember it. My parents answered those questions for me. I didn't answer them for myself. But if Gordon Lathrop is right, that the way we begin our lives of faith is a guide for getting through every day with faith, if my friend Jess is right, that we ought to live our lives with constant reminders of our baptism, then I think answering these questions again and again and again every day throughout the day can help us live faithfully and joyfully as the beloveds of God but our baptism assures us we are. When we remember our baptism, we remember that this is the shape of the life we are claimed into. To renounce evil is not simply to reject personal wrongdoing. It's also to reject systems that grind down the vulnerable. To confess that Jesus is Lord is to declare that no empire, no ideology, no market, no fear gets the final word. To promise to follow Christ is to commit ourselves to love that transforms, to justice that heals, to faithfulness that refuses to abandon the broken and wounded places in our lives and in our world. One needs hardly to look at the newspaper or turn on the TV or open social media to be reminded that we live in a world where evil is not hard to find, where the powers that defy God are not subtle, and where the ways of sin that draw us from God are often wrapped in the language of common sense, of tradition, or inevitability. Baptism claims for us a particular way of being in this world, a way that will inevitably put us at odds with forces that have pledged their allegiance to powers and principalities other than God's love. To renounce evil and confess instead the sovereignty of the Lamb who was slain in such a world is not a one-time declaration. It's a practice, a discipline. It's something we must do again and again, something we do daily, sometimes moment by moment, as we are confronted with cruelty that has learned how to sound reasonable, with injustice that has learned how to look normal. And as we said when we were baptized, we live that life of faith, relying on God's help. When Jesus comes out of the waters of the Jordan, the heavens are torn open and the Spirit descends and a voice declares, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Before Jesus has preached a sermon, before he's healed a single person, before he's confronted the powers that will eventually kill him, he is named and claimed as beloved. Baptism grounds identity before it demands action. It tells us who we are as a precursor for telling us what we must do. And yet it does tell us what we are called to do. Because to know ourselves as God's beloved is not an escape from the world's suffering. It is a call straight into it. The servant described in Isaiah is chosen, upheld, delighted in by God, and then sent to bring forth justice, not by shouting or crushing or breaking, but by faithfulness that refuses to give up. A bruised reed he will not break, a dimly burning wick he will not quench. This is not just softness or sentimentality dressed up as faithfulness. It is resilient faithfulness. Faithfulness that keeps showing up. Faithfulness to the God who names us beloved and calls us every day to participate in God's work of justice, love, and peace. Remembering our baptism reminds us that this is the kind of calling we are baptized into. Not the justice of winning, but the justice of transformation. Not a brittle peace born of domination, but an abundant peace rooted in repair. Love that transforms and liberates and catches everyone up in its tide. When we touch water and remember our baptism, we are reminded that we belong to a story bigger than our fear, deeper than our failures. We are reminded that we are not saved as isolated individuals, but joined together as a people, a community, a body sent into the world for the sake of God's love. Perhaps we do not remember our baptism as often as we might like. Perhaps most days water is just water and we don't remember that we have renounced evil and confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, and declared our intention with God's help to show God's love in the world. But even so, the promise holds. Even when we don't remember it, God remembers who we are and calls us back to God and to ourselves. Every time we return to that beginning, every time we dare to renounce evil again, to confess Christ again, to promise faithfulness again, God meets us there. Not with disappointment or with condemnation, but with the same voice spoken over Jesus in the Jordan. You are my beloved. You are beloved. With you, I am well pleased. And somehow, that is enough to begin again. And it is enough to come back to again and again and again. Amen.